Good morning. Sometimes it is good to go old school. I don't know if maybe some of you that brought some memories back, some early days of prison ministry with Bernie. Those simple songs sometimes just bring us back to the heart and the essence of God. They make you slow down and contemplate God. They contemplate your place with God. And this is a good thing for all of us. We don't live in contemplation, but we do live in relationship. And sometimes you got to stop and realize where you are and who you are in order to be more fully filled with His grace and love and mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we again lift up the team of missionaries, Lord, that You have called and sent out. We pray that their hearts are just commissioned to You and to those people, that even the least of these there will be seen with dedication and prayer and attention. That when our team leaves from there, Lord, that those people will know that they have been met by Christ and loved by one another. And for those who are sick and ill, Lord, we know there's a lot of things going around right now with families. We just ask Your protection. We ask for Your healing from head to toe, Lord, emotional, physical, anything that is not of You, Lord. We ask You to clean it out, clean it up, and prepare Your people for good service. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So how many of you have been enjoying Ephesians? How many of you have been knocked in the head a little bit by Ephesians? Oh, only two of you. That's amazing. Well, may I recommend you read it again, starting in chapter 3, and see if anything, again, the head knocking is just kind of a tap that say, hey, there's always room for growth. But as we're moving and trying to grow, sometimes that can turn into striving. You ever feel that way? That sometimes the more pastor preaches, the more I feel further away from where I need to be. And that can lead to an unintended consequence of shame and condemnation. The Word of God is intended to illuminate light, that we would walk in the light, not to chase us into more darkness. Amen? That might be the end of my message for somebody today. That might be what you need to hear and put into place, and from there you're good. I love the book of Ephesians. I didn't know when Pastor asked me to speak on this date. I didn't know that's where he was teaching. But Ephesians was so instrumental early in my life as a Christian at 34. I was trying to catch up with everything. I hadn't read the Bible. So when I came across Ephesians, it looked like a mini version of the whole process. And if you think about it, you learn how salvation is brought to us. It's an act of grace. I didn't realize I didn't have to earn it. I couldn't earn it. And then it moves on to the teaching about forgiveness and friendships and personal holiness and parenting and eventually also marriage. I don't want to miss that part. It talks a lot about marriage too. But eventually, as we mature in Christians and we keep trying to do all this stuff right, most of us get to a place we realize, I can't do this apart from His Spirit. So I think next week is when Pastor Mark's going to illuminate spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God Himself. Because how many of us have been trying to do this and forget to ask God to do it with us? We've all been there. I'd like to say you get to a place where you just walk in such spiritual awareness that you never fall back into that trap, but I'm just telling you, it can happen later today. The striving versus the trusting. It is. So how good is our God that He would give us all this teaching and all these instruction? How do we give back to that God, gift back to Him in appreciation? How many of you are good gift givers? I can't raise my hand. How many of you are good gift givers? I know my family is. That's part of the pressure I feel. So two out of the six of you are from my family. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. See why? And see, this time of year, I'm married to a Halloween girl for her birthday. So this kind of year starts to bring a little bit of pressure, because Halloween to me is right next to Christmas. When you get older, they all run together. So I'm just saying, it could be a touchy subject around this time of year. I realized this morning that today is Brett Larimore's birthday. So happy birthday to Brett. And Justin, happy birthday to Justin. Okay. I have nothing for either of you, as I'm not a good gift giver. When I see you Friday Dunkin' Donuts, they have free donuts, so that'll be my gift to you, okay? All right, so I got one taken care of. So, honestly, and maybe this you guys run into this, when you're trying to figure out gifts to give, it's not because I don't want to spend the money. I'm willing to spend the money. I just have no idea how to properly appreciate the people I love with a gift. Does that make sense? Okay, I say this to my son-in-law because we're like-minded, but that's not an excuse not to get one, okay? Just because I get stuck over the years doesn't mean we still got to, you know, bring a little bit, even if it's a free donut. That's, you know, it's the thought that counts. I want us to open up this morning, just get back to the basics of our faith and remember who we are, who God is. If you can open up in your apps or in your Bibles to Psalm 103. We don't have all of it up here, so if you've got something to follow with, especially the first few verses, the whole, great, beautiful. This was written by David. Most commentators believe it was written later in his life because certain lines show a deep appreciation for God's forgiveness. And we know that David, although he was a man after God's own heart, David messed up. Any of y'all messed up? Not are you messed up, have you messed up? To some degree, we could probably say yes to both, because we're a work in progress. But one commentator said that this psalm, if you just want to get back someday when your mind's racing and you're flooded with stuff, get back to the basics of worshiping. One writer said that this is perhaps the most perfect song of pure praise in the Bible. Like Ephesians, this is not a song of correction. Ephesians was one of the few books that was not written as a letter of correction. It was exhortation and instruction, but you're not really getting hit over the head or corrected for anything. Same thing here with David. It's really an amazing picture of who God is, because he's speaking about the heart of God. He speaks of what he's done, but also about his heart. And always know that Jesus is most concerned with your heart more than your activity. Let me say that again. He wants your heart. He wants you to know who you are and who he is. This church has amazing ministries and activities. But I believe God would say, if I don't have your heart, son, it's foolishness. So we got to get back to who he is, because he tells us who we are. Let's look at the first 7 verses. We'll take this in chunks. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. We could stop right there, end of sermon. If that's all you knew about God, he is worthy of praise and worthy of worship. Think about what he's done now. He forgives iniquities. He heals diseases. He redeems us from the pit. He crowns us with love and mercy. He satisfies us with good. And he renews our youth. Let me tell you, I never even wore these when I was young. He's got me, old man, I'm younger now. My step is higher. I'm more excited about the day. He's renewing the youth because I'm pouring more into him and trusting him. Now, there's certain bones that don't cooperate, but we're going to talk about that later in heaven. He's going to take care of all that too. He does heal our diseases. Some is for the present, and some is a future promise. He goes on to say, basically, this takes us to the first premise we got to get back to sometimes. God is good. He's just good all the time. He's good. Do you ever doubt sometimes whether what he's doing is good? I do. That's why I got to get back to what God says about himself. Remember, son, I'm good. I'm going to get baby distracted a minute. Let me stick with what I'm... Let's look at 6 and 7. He continues to tell us the work that he's done. He works righteousness, verse 6, and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. God has made his ways known to his people, not just in Israel through the law and through the sin of wilderness. He's made his ways known. He's made his ways known to us. We have this beautiful gift of the Bible. Now we have it in apps. We have it everywhere available. It is the teachings and the story of God in Christ and his love for us. Amen? I don't read it enough. I just read it more than I used to. I don't even know what enough is. I could sit all day reading and not love anybody worth a darn. Well, that's not good. So we gotta balance this contemplating and moving and loving. It's a balance. You'll find the balance in your life. Just know that you need both. There's a sitting with him, like our brother in the song. He said, we need to contemplate what we're singing. Think about it. Appreciate it. But also we need to get up and do things as well. These two verses speak to another characteristic of God as well. He's gracious. If you think he hasn't given you enough, stop and reflect on what he's already given you. You ever do that? Just stop and give thanks for a few minutes. I guarantee you there's something in your life worth being thankful over. But know that worship is not the same thing as thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a part of worship. David here is saying, Lord, bless my soul. Or soul, bless the Lord. Now see here the difference? He's asking God to bless his soul, but he's saying, oh soul, bless the Lord. You ever talk to your soul? You ever have a conversation with your soul? Yeah, talking to yourself, right. How many of you don't want to get up some mornings and you say to yourself, oh, I got to get up? Or you say, I'm not getting up. My point is, you have conversations with yourself and with your soul more often than you realize. It's okay to talk to yourself once in a while. You might not want to do it out loud because people think you're a little funny, but you need to have conversations with yourself, your mind, your will, and your emotions, because the heart is what dictates where everything else goes. Do you understand when I say that? Have you ever woken up when your heart's just in a foul mood, just in a bad mood? It affects, yeah, my grandson's saying yes. See, you're not the only one, son. You're just one of the few who admit it at a young age. That's the difference. Our soul needs refreshing. Our soul needs direction. It's our heart that tells our soul what we're doing today. If your heart's not right, everything else is out of whack. Psalm 103 is a way to get your heart back right. It recenters you, or at least it has for me. That's why I wanted to share it. So we know that God is good. We know that he's gracious. We got some slides up there, I think, for that. Just so I'm with you on the same page. There we go. That's where we just talked about. Sometimes when I'm reading about how good God is and what he's done, do you ever find it hard to personalize it for you? Like, does he really love me? Like, I don't doubt God's character. I don't doubt all these amazing things. I think the Bible is historically accurate. But do you ever feel like a distance between all these things that God talks about, the promises, the efforts he's made, the love? Do you ever feel separate from that? You don't have to raise your hand, but I think that's part of the journey. We might lament it like, okay, God, where did you go? But I believe God puts it into he puts it into the pain of life, so we're drawn to go closer to him. We think we've gone away from God, or we think we're like, where is he? I don't feel him, or I don't think about him as often as I should. And then we feel convicted. What's wrong with me? What if God built into the process, the same way we do with our children, to instigate a struggle, to make us work a little harder, or to make us cry out to him a little more? What if we're not so backslidden that we're a mess? Maybe that's not our true condition. Maybe it's we're right in the path of drawing closer to him, and he uses all things for his good to move you to that place. Does that make sense? If you've walked in the faith long enough, you realize this is not a snap order faith. Like, you can't just read a verse and now I'm better. Who can attest to that? But if you read the verse and you're convicted by it, and you ask God to help you move toward him and move toward him, you will become more like Christ. So I just want to say, if you're discouraged today, maybe you're right where you're supposed to be. If you're feeling like he's a little distant, maybe that's to draw you closer. Now, we do need to do an inventory. Are we doing anything to cause it? If you're running foolishly in sin, okay. Then let's come back to the kingdom. But if you think you're doing okay, but you're still feeling a hunger, then spend some more time with him and see what he might tell you. That wasn't even in here, so I got to get back on track. Let's do some more reading. Let's let God's word speak. Starting at verse 8. We've talked about what he's done. Now he's going to tell us who he is. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. So far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. With your children's children. And with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. That's who he is. So why do we get so messed up in thinking, I've got to do this God thing better? Why do we get messed up in our thinking? One author said, our heart, the center of our being, has been distorted by sin and wounded by life experience. In this condition, the light of God only made us turn away with feelings of guilt and shame. So for this reason, God has to begin a lifelong process of recreating the heart so that we can have the freedom to receive his love and return it back to him unconditionally. If we don't come back to the heart of God so that our heart is renewed, that helps us to press out all these other messages, not just the world's messages, messages from your own families. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of our families gave us the wrong message about who we are, and even the wrong message about God? I would venture to say, if I can spend 10 minutes with you, I'll find at least one thing. There's something that you were misinformed, or that something was you were neglected in some way, that only God can satisfy that emptiness. So do you want to help God in the process of recreating your heart? I'll suggest two things. First, let's stop underestimating him. Pastor Mark preached a month ago about a shrinking God, right? Remember that sermon about how we shrink God? I think the greatest way we shrink him, we underestimate his love, we underestimate his grace, his capacity to forgive, and we underestimate his willingness to fill us with him, because we keep thinking of him as a separate entity. He is, in fact, a separate entity who has chosen to come in the form of flesh, in the form of a human. We call him Jesus, who then said, I must leave that another may come, that you may do greater things you've seen me do. So who did he leave with us? Holy Spirit. How often do we contemplate during the day? Christ in me is the hope of glory. That's what Paul said. Christ in me. Do I always reflect him well? No, but he never leaves. I can cover him up with my foolishness, but I cannot deny his existence, because he said he is a guarantee of my faith. His character, not my performance. Some days I forget that, and some days I need other people to remind me. The other thing I'll say to you is this. This is what David practiced. Keep telling God who he is, so he can remind you of who you are. How many of you would classify yourself as problem solvers? If there's a problem, I got to figure it out. Okay, well, what if I've come to the conclusion that I'm the problem? Been there, done that. Give me a half hour, I'll come up with that. It'll happen again. But recognizing that I have to change is different than identifying myself as the problem. Conviction is a gift from God. If it says I need to shift something, if I need to think something or do something different, then I need to fall in line with that. That's grace. But if I begin to think that I'm the problem, I'm completely eradicating everything else Jesus said. This is why we need Scripture to flood our minds and our hearts with the truth. When I say to my grandson, you're my boy, I say that to him after he messes up, after his father has made him aware of what he needs to change, right? But we also need that grandfatherly voice that says, yeah, but you're still my boy. Now, we need the father to say that too. Don't get me wrong. But God is that grandfatherly voice to say, I still got you, son. I still got you, daughter. I know you messed up, but you're still mine. Scripture says you're the apple of my eye. How many of us think of ourselves that way? And how many of you know someone who doesn't think of themselves that way? Well, do me a favor today. Go tell them. You got Facebook, you got text messaging, you got whatever devices you use. Tell somebody they're loved. Remind them how much they're appreciated. We all need it. Keep telling him who he is, and it'll come back to you how important you are. Let's look at the final verses here. Verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. The New King James replaces the word, I think you guys may have the NLT, possibly your NIV. Does it use the word servants or ministers? Ministers. Yeah. And that's what I wanted to pick up on. Do you think of yourself as a minister? Peter says you're a holy priesthood. May not feel like a holy priesthood today, but you are ministers. You've been given the gifts of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, the mind of Christ. You've been given all these things. Why? To bless Him and to bless other people. But you can't do either of those until first you bless your soul. Bless your soul with the truth. I asked the question earlier, how do you give back to a God who doesn't need anything? What do you think He wants from you? What's He want? You're the gift. Regardless of what your spouse said last night, that was a joke, sorry. See, 20 years ago, that would have been more true in my household, but my spouse always blesses me as a gift. But maybe right now you're not in a place where you got other people reminding you that you're the gift. And look, anybody who knows me well, whoever counsel with me, I don't puff people up for their own self-importance. I just want you to walk in the truth. Have you got things to work on? Sure you do. You know, you haven't been conformed to the image of Christ yet. You may have the aroma of Christ, but we're a work in progress, but it's His good work that He started. Not for our striving, it's our rejoicing that we're part of the work, and every time we identify something and we shed it and we walk away from it, He's got something new for us. It's a journey. But sometimes we need somebody to say, "You're such a gift to me." And I'll speak to men, because I've been a guy. I haven't been a lady. But I do find that ladies are more willing to speak directly sometimes and more affectionately. Men, if you have a hard time saying I love you, practice the words. Just first say them in the mirror until they get better. And then go up to a brother in Christ and say, "I love you, man." Find something good that you can encourage him with. At any level, you can find something good to bless somebody with. His goodness, His grace, and His power have been given to us, as David recognized, first to bless him. Give it back to him. Tell him how much you appreciate him. Give him thanks throughout the day. Problem solve for a moment. Ask him for supplication, but then tell him how much you appreciate him, and it will change our perspective. Does that make sense? It's not a problem-solving formula, by the way. Because the problem solver in me, after I pray, sometimes I'm like, "Okay, but what do I need to do again?" And what he's saying to you, "Son, I want you to trust me. That is the job. And let him take care of the other things." So all that has been given to us by God was intended for God. And this is a process to learn. I don't know about you guys, when I first became a Christian, it was all about information overload. Like, I was trying to figure everything out. I was also trying to get sin out of my life. So in the early stages of your Christian walk, you're probably going to be focusing more on getting the sin out, right? Because every sermon you're hearing, there's a ton of things you've never thought about before. Now you got to get the sin out. Then eventually, you start getting involved in ministry. I'm hoping everybody here is in some level involved with active ministry. It is a necessary part of your development and journey. If you haven't figured out what you're good at, you got to start trying something. I haven't known this lady very long, but I believe she could find something for you to do if you came up and said, "Do you need some help?" But see, you try things in your early walk. You try things. Some things don't work. Some things do work. But your focus is on the doing for God. And there's some of you in this room that have walked long enough with God. You've got most of the sin out of your life. Most of it. No egregious sin. You've served in ministry. But there's a deeper longing that you have. And I would tell you, this is a longing of Christ. To draw more intimate with Him. If you're at this place in your journey, in your age, spend more time alone with Him. Go for longer walks and talk to Him. Listen for His voice more often than you're acting and doing things for Him. and he will give you direction as to what to do. You'll become a much more efficient Christian. Instead of running around spinning like a top and being exhausted and then blaming God because you're so tired, you'll realize some of the things I was doing, they weren't his idea, they were mine. So this getting back to who God is the essence of who we are. We're all on the journey of being conformed to Christ. In different seasons, we're working on different things, and that's okay. If you see the season somebody is working on, join them in prayer. Give them an encouragement. If you hear rumor that a brother has some sin in his life that he needs to get rid of, have the courage to go talk to him. Men's group? How many guys are here involved in that men's group? It's not enough to sit and congregate and talk about God, is it? If there's a brother lost, if there's a sheep, a lamb that has left the fold and left the 99, it's up to you guys to go get him. Have the courage to confront him in love. Don't let him idle in his aloneness, because that's where the enemy has him. And you women have the same charge. If you know there is someone who is lost, who is straying, who has become separated from the fold, then go get them. What's the worst they can do? Reject you because they're not ready? That's okay. They know somebody cares, right? Whatever season you're in, you're positioned to be a blessing to somebody else. Because I promise you, you can look around your life and you can see somebody who's where you used to be. Am I right? I'm not even talking about in your biblical knowledge. I'm just talking about the season of life where the foolishness they're tangled up in. Oh my gosh, I've been there. Thank you, Lord. He took me from that. Okay, but I'm supposed to go back and help this person untangle. See, it's good to appreciate what God's done. But then we use the gifts he's given us to bless other people. It's not an either or, it's both. Some of y'all don't think you're qualified to help other people. You don't think of yourselves as ministers. Well, I say to you, have you ever been through a mess? Yeah. Well, you just got qualified for ministry. So when you see somebody else in a mess and you get thinking, boy, I wish somebody had been there for me. That may be the Lord saying to you, you're the one. I did not come here today anticipating giving you not one piece of new information. I didn't anticipate telling you anything that you don't already know. And the music and the team was confirmation. Today was the day to get back to the basics of our faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, with my every thought, with my choices, which is my will, and with my heart, my emotions. Bless the Lord. Lord, bless me. Change my thoughts, change my choices, change my heart, so I can become an instrument of righteousness in your hands. That's the invitation I give to you. The rest is between you and Jesus. Let's go to him in prayer. Jesus, I pray your words for this congregation. I pray that you may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled up to the fullness of God. By your will it be done, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.